good to be reminded, Jesus does love us. All of us. Whether you feel worthy of it or not, He still loves you. Whether you've been good this morning or bad this morning, He still loves you. Whether you had a great week or a bad week, He still loves you. And He wants you to go to heaven with Him. That's why He came and died. We're so glad you're with us this morning here at Barber's Grove. We pray that you're blessed. Thank you for coming. Those that might be in the parking lot, those that might be listening later on the website, all of you are welcome as we worship Jesus. And after all, he's not only just the reason for the season at Christmas, Jesus is the reason for it all. Every knee bows, every tongue confess, Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Just praise the Lord for Jesus. May we pray. Father, as we bow before you, thank you for your blessing. Thank you that you so loved us, that you sent your Son Jesus, that we might have everlasting life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, for those sweet nudges and whispers in our heart that tells us this is the way, walk ye in it. Thank you for the comfort and the peace. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for loving us. May you be honored today as we worship you, as we seek your face, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning to everyone. It's good to see you all here this morning, and as we normally do on Sunday morning, we start off our worship with a hymn sing, and we're going to start this morning with page 146, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. If you would please stand, and the words will be on the board, Oh, How He Loves You and Me, page 146.
Oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He
can say amen. You may be seated. I'm going to share some announcements with you at this time, and I do want to remind you still about Wednesday night, our Wednesday night services. Our prayer study and Bible study is every Wednesday night at 6:30, and Pastor Ed is doing a wonderful job with that, and I would encourage you to come if you have some time to go ahead and come. You won't be sorry. Then as we go forward with that, reminder, next Sunday will be church quarterly conference, and we'll be addressing the nominating committee's suggestions or recommendations to the church for that. And then on Sunday, August the 21st, a very important day, is will be our homecoming. And we will have homecoming. The Reverend Jesse Herring, pastor of Red Cross Baptist Church, will be our visiting speaker. Looking forward to having Jesse back and coming, and he was excited when we talked, and so I'm looking forward to Brother Jesse coming. area-wide revival, September the 5th through the 9th and 12th through the 16th. And so the Stanley Fairgrounds, be sure you, if you can, get involved in that and help out. I'm sure there'll be a lot of churches involved with that. Then after that, additional thoughts will be Sunday school is the same at 9 o'clock, and then, of course, worship will follow at 10. Are there any announcements that I may have overlooked at this point? All right. Then we will go as we normally do to our prayer request. And I have just a few. Brother Tony Eford, let's remember him. He has COVID. But this morning, he is doing much better, right, Rosina? And so we're glad to hear that. And he was having some time of some fever and chills. And Ruth said he just didn't have any energy. But that's getting better, so thank God. And Ruth said she tested negative, so that's great, too. Let's remember Kathy High. Kathy High has had some eye surgery. Well, not eye surgery, but some plastic surgery, I guess you'd call it, Robert. Above the eye, but she's doing well. The eyelids, right? So she could see you better, right, Robert? Yeah. Okay, but she said to me she's doing better and doing well, just sore. So let's lift up Kathy this morning and doing that. All right. Are there others this morning that we need to put on our list? Yes. Is that on vacation, sir?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Travel and mercy for Robert and family. Yes, Kenny. Praise report for Kenny's mother, and she is doing better, and that's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful news. Others. Yes, Janice.
Thank you.
Okay.
I put a different one on, and she said she'd be wearing that one for 3 weeks, and then it should come off with an elastic band or whatever put on, and then she got that there.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good news, too. She's coming along. That's wonderful. Yes, David? Wow, okay. David's mother for hip surgery, and then David's dad for eye surgery. Lift them up. Others. While we're talking about traveling mercy, you can remember me. I leave in the morning for Tupelo, and I'm still looking for Elvis. Hadn't found him yet. But you all pray for me. I tell you, there's so much craziness out there on the highway now. I don't feel nearly as safe as there was times when I could travel. But anyway, lift me up if you don't mind. We'll do that. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, we thank you for another Lord's Day that you've given us. A time we could assemble ourselves together as your word reminds us to do. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for those who now, Lord, have prioritized their time, and they're here today. They're here today seeking and expecting a blessing. And Lord, we hope they've already received a blessing from your word being taught this morning. But Lord, as we go forward in our services today, Lord, we pray, Lord, for your blessings upon us, that we may be a blessing to those here today. Lord, there are those, Lord, that we want to lift up to you this morning. We want to lift up specifically those who have asked for prayer this morning. We pray for Tony Eford this morning as he is dealing with COVID. Pray for Kathy High as she is convalescing from surgery from the eye. And then let's remember travel mercy for Robert and the family. And then, Lord, we pray, Lord, and we're so thankful for the praise report that Kenny gave us about his mother. We pray for Ann Barbie as she continues to convalesce after the break of her arm. We pray for her. Then, Lord, we pray for David's dad. We lift up David's dad and David's mother as they prepare for surgery. We now, Lord, we pray for healing for them, if it be your precious will. Go with us now, Lord, as we continue on in the service today, and all those who have a part. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Red as he'll be coming, Lord, and sharing with us the word. And now, Lord, these blessings I ask in your name, your sweet name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're going to, in our praise music today, if I can get this, I want to share with you first some scripture in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And he had a hard time to prophesy, didn't he, Pastor? A time of exile, a time of defeat. But listen to the words from Jeremiah. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with thee as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as a clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands, O Israel, or all America, or all of us. If you would please, let's stand and let's sing together, Change My Heart, O God. I'm glad he don't throw the potter clay away, aren't you? I'm ready. Thank you, sir.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and change my heart, O God.
Come change my heart.
Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, O God.
Come change my heart.
May I be like you. You are the this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like
you know, watching the potter there, that pot didn't suddenly become a beautiful vessel. It took some steps. And there's no such thing as instant, beautiful Christianity. You walk down the aisle and you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But then if you have a willing heart, over the years, He will change you. Now, if your heart's not willing, it's going to be hard to make you what He wants you to be. But if you've got a willing heart, little by little, He'll shape you and mold you and make you just like He wants you to be. Amen. And every vessel is different. As Paul says in one of his letters, some are for this use and some are for that use. But all are useful. Truly, may we have hearts that say, Lord, You're the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me. That's what I pray. Amen. You know, one of the best known parables of Jesus is the one we call the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let's read that together to start with today. Luke 10. Luke 10. And we'll begin at verse 25. Because that gives you the context of what's going on. Luke 10, beginning at verse 25, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, or tested him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And when went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said unto him, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus, Go and do thou likewise. Now look at the people involved in this story. You have this first guy, and he's on a trip. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now it was a dangerous trip, so he probably wasn't very, very wise in going by himself. But he's on his way. We don't know whether he was going down to visit family. We don't know. Jericho was sort of an oasis, almost like a vacation spot. So he could have been going down there for pleasure. He could have been going down there for business. We don't really know why he was on this trip. And suddenly, as he's making the way down, he's attacked by a bunch of thieves. You know, the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there's always those in the devil's crowd that are going to kill, steal, and destroy. And so they jump on this man. They beat him up. They steal everything that he's got that's worth stealing. They leave him beside of the road, probably thinking he's going to die and he'll never be able to identify us. Along comes a priest, a holy man. He ignores him, He sees him, but he goes by. Then comes a Levite, another holy man. He ignores him, passes by on the other side. Finally, here comes a Samaritan. And remember, Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. I mean, that's like Muslims and Christians. They just didn't get along. And yet this Samaritan stops. He does what medical available, puts wine and oil on the man's wounds. He binds him up. He takes him to an inn. He takes care of him overnight. He gives the innkeeper some money and says, take care of him. When I come back, if you spent more on his care than I've given you, I'll pay you some more. And then Jesus says to this guy that asked him the question, which one was the good neighbor? Well, Lord, you know, I don't want to admit it, but it was the Samaritan. And Jesus says, go and do thou likewise. Now let's bring that down to you and me. At one time or other, every adult in this room has been the guy that was beat up. You were minding your own business, going your way, and suddenly trouble hit you. You weren't expecting it. You weren't looking for it. And it hit you. I'll tell you something that happened to me this morning. Now, I'm going to talk about some much more serious things first. I mean, later, but this happened to me this morning. I'm rushing around trying to get ready to come to church. I'm going to take my vitamins. I grab a glass out of the cupboard. I fill it full of pomegranate juice. And if you don't know that, it's a dark purple. Set it on the placemat. Put the first vitamins in my mouth. I thought, did I spill some juice on the outside of that glass? I don't think I did. I picked the thing up, and it's just like somebody cut it off the bottom from the rest of the glass. And suddenly I have pomegranate juice everywhere. It's on the table. It's running under stuff that's on the table. It's soaked the placemat. It's fallen off the side onto the doggy blanket. It's everywhere. And I did the same thing you do. Why me, Lord? Why on Sunday morning? Well, you know, needless to say, it took me about 10 minutes to clean up my mess. And when my wife comes into the kitchen in a little while, or whatever, maybe she's already been in now, she was still asleep when I left. There's going to be this big bucket sitting in the sink with a placemat and a doggy blanket in it covered with water. And she's going to think, what in the world? But you know, there are all kind of things that hit us that we don't expect. Your car breaks down. An appliance breaks down. There's a divorce. You find out your spouse is cheating on you. Your company closes. Or your company downsizes and you lose your job. Or you go to the doctor and he, she gives you a bad medical diagnosis. You don't get into the college that you expected to and had your heart set on going there to study. All kinds of things. You have your heart set on dating a certain person and you ask them for a date and they say, are you kidding? I'd never go out with you. We have all kinds of problems that hit us. Some of them are somebody else's fault. Strife. Strife in the family. Strife in the church. Your kids disappoint you. There's a death. Death of your parents. Death of a child. There's all kinds of strife. It's been off and on all morning as we've sort of shared, you know, the mess that was in Chicago, Highland Park last week. Those people going to a parade. And some of them don't come back alive. Many more are injured. Kid loses parents. So sad. Just bang, here's the problem. We're just like this man here in the parable of the Good Samaritan. And maybe you sense people passing by and they ignored you. You were hurting and they ignored you. Maybe they didn't know, that. Maybe they didn't sense, but you knew that they knew that you were hurting and they didn't help you. And that made the hurt even worse. Or turning around, maybe we were the one that saw somebody hurting and didn't help them. Or maybe some good Samaritan reached in and touched us and helped us. And we were blessed. Or maybe you were the good Samaritan. You looked at somebody and you saw their need and you reached out and you touched their life. You weren't concerned about whether they looked like you or acted like you or were of your social class or what it was going to cost you. The love of Jesus in you just reached out and said, I got to help this person. I've got to do something. The Lord's laid it up on my heart and I've got to do something. We've all been in that parable. We've been there where we saw the need. We've been there where we had the need. We've been there where we ignored. We've been there where we've been ignored, and we've been there where we helped. And you know, I know that some of you that get the newsletter by mail may not have already gotten it, and maybe others of you haven't read it yet. But when I talked about using what's in your hand, it's amazing what God gives us to use. And sometimes we don't think, I don't have anything God can use. When I was at Prospect, there's this lady who was, I think, in her early 80s. She might have been in her late, 78, 79, but she wasn't no spring chicken. She drove a car that I'd have been afraid to crank, afraid to blow up. I mean, it was old. But you know what she did? Every week, she'd go and pick up two other ladies who were about the same age. And they'd go to all the nursing home and visit all the old people. Now, a lot of those old people they went to visit were younger than they were. And I guarantee you, if she knew your birthday, she was going to call you on your birthday and say, I don't have anything to give you, but my love, happy birthday. She knew how to minister. She knew how to minister. She didn't have any money. She didn't have her youth. She didn't have a fancy vehicle. But she had the love of Jesus. And that's all that matters. But as I was thinking about this also, who is the ultimate good Samaritan? Father God. Father God is the ultimate good Samaritan. I want to prove that to you. First, turn with me to a passage you probably don't read real often, Ezekiel 16. Ezekiel 16. And we're going to read the first few verses of this chapter because it tells something about God's loving heart. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swallowed at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to make thee compassion unto thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, and I said unto thee, When thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, that's increased and waxen great. Thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy beasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, and whereas where thou wast naked and bare, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. I spread my skirt over thee, covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered cloth work, and shod thee with badger skin. I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. God says, paints a picture here. He says, Israel, when you were nothing, you were like a newborn baby just thrown out in a field to die. And I came by and I saw you. I saw you in your helplessness. I saw you in your hopelessness. I saw you and I pitied you and I loved you and I took you in and I cleaned you up. I chose you for my family. And when I cleaned you up, I put on you special garments. Garments that made you beautiful. I prospered you. I cared for you. It's such a beautiful picture of God choosing Israel as his special people when they were hopeless, helpless, nothing they could do. God says, I chose you. You're mine. The Good Samaritan who comes by and sees somebody in their need and takes them in. Now turn with me to the book of Romans and see where you fit in. The book of Romans, chapter 5. Beginning at verse 6. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would dare die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen, amen, amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lost, undone, hated God, didn't know about God, living in sin and degradation. And God said, I'm going to send my son. I'm going to send my son as proof of my love. I'm going to send my son to deal with their sin problem. I'm going to send my son to let them know that I've prepared a place for them, that I'll receive them unto myself. I'm going to send my son so that they can know that they're a part of the they can become a part of the family of God. I'm going to send my son. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us. God said, I love you. That Samaritan had no reason to stop for this robbed, beaten up, helpless Jew. But love reached out. God had no reason to reach out for Israel, but he did. And God had no reason to reach out for you and for me. But he did. And everybody in here, and I think probably most everybody in here knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe not everybody, but most everybody. At some point in your life, it may have been in the last year or two, or it may, for some of us, it may have been 70 years ago. But the Holy Spirit reached out to us and said, God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants you to be one of his children. Would you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and let him save you? Totally uncalled for, totally. You know, the Bible says that nobody can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw them. And when you became a believer, when Jesus became personal to you, it was because the Spirit of God reached out to you and tugged your heart. It wasn't that he looked down and said, oh, Ed's such a nice little kid. Ed was just as lost as a Muslim or a Buddhist or somebody else. It's just as much on my way to hell as they are. But God reached out and spoke to my heart. 8 years old. That's love. God's the ultimate good Samaritan. He reaches out to us in many, many ways. Now I want us to look at two other passages of Scripture that talk about God being the ultimate Samaritan. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. One thing we're going to do while I'm pastor, we're going to wear our Bibles out. John 14, starting at verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know, that Samaritan didn't just come by and say, you poor man, you would have had more sense than be traveling alone. He came and he ministered to him. And God not only chose you, but he indwells you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Comforter. And as I said earlier, most of us at some time or other, especially as adults, have been where that poor beat up man was. We've been hurting. And you knew that the only thing that got you through was God's presence. Sometimes it was one step forward and two steps back and then three steps forward and two back. But eventually you got through it. Because God's presence was with you. He encouraged you. He spoke to you in the still of the night. When you were hurting in the middle of, and you were wondering, why me, Lord? Why now, Lord? I can't take any more of this, Lord. And suddenly there's that still, small voice, that peace that made all the difference. One more passage of scripture that we looked at on a Wednesday night several weeks ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may all be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God offers us comfort. He said he's the God of mercy. He's the God of comfort. And he offers that comfort to us through the Holy Spirit, so that we can be a comfort to others. So that we can come alongside of others and put our arm around them and love them in Jesus. God is the ultimate Good Samaritan. Father God is your Good Samaritan. Now, what do we need to do? We need to accept it. Accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Enter into a relationship with God. I mean, see, it all is meaningless if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Imagine how many thousands and millions of people this morning are in despair while you're sitting here in these pews, and there's a little bubble of joy and peace and happiness and glory because of the presence of Jesus. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Second thing is, thank God every morning and all day long for being your Good Samaritan. And the third thing is, be sensitive. Who around you is hurting that needs the comfort that you can give? Who around you is hurting that needs the blessing that you can be? Who around you needs Jesus as their Savior, that you can share Jesus? We've all been there in that hurting spot, and God made the difference. And many times, God used somebody else. I remember a time in a certain church where Pam and I were really hurting. I won't get into all the details, but she said, I'm not even getting out of bed this morning. And she just sort of laid there and covered up her head. Well, I'm the preacher, so I still got to go to the office. And I did. And about 9 o'clock, got a phone call from somebody in the church that, you know, we barely knew. And he says, my wife and I'd like to take you and your wife out for supper tonight. And they gave her a reason to get up, my wife to get up and get dressed. And we went out and established a beautiful friendship. Only the Holy Spirit could have inspired him that morning to call. I mean, it wasn't like we'd been golfing together, fishing together, eating together. Like I said, we barely knew them. It's just a part of the congregation. But their yielding to the Spirit of God made a difference when Pamela and I were hurting. They were our Good Samaritans that day, and many times later. Folks, the more we listen to the Spirit of God, the more He can use us to be a blessing, to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we are comforted. I don't know that any of us will ever reach 100% perfection in always hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God. But let's strive for it. Let's strive to get better and better to be listening. Who do I call? Who do I send a card to? Who do I go visit? Who do I share a book with? How can I let the love of Jesus that is in me spill over into their life? No wonder this is parable is one of the best known, because it speaks to our heart. And when Jesus asked the lawyer the question, who was the neighbor? He said, the one that made the difference. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So would Jesus say to me and to you, go and do likewise. As we have an invitation time, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus and you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we invite you to come. If there's somebody else that needs to come to the altar, maybe there's somebody you need to pray for, somebody that's on your heart, some other decision, would you come? Father God, we thank you for your great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts and drawing us to salvation. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our comforter, our guide, our friend, our teacher. Father, help us all to be sensitive. Start with the preacher. Help us be sensitive to ways we can love through Jesus those who are hurting. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious unto you and give you His peace in the name of Jesus.